Aș vrea ca pacea Domnului Iisus Hristos să fie cu noi în fiecare zi. Și aș vrea să înțelegeți pacea asta așa cum Pavel a intenționat de fiecare dată când a scris către în fiecare din epistolele lui și a început epistolele cu mesajul acesta. Fie ca pacea Domnului Iisus Hristos să fie cu noi în fiecare zi. Și în mod special în cele mai grele și cele mai dificile momente ale vieții noastre. Mesajul din seara aceasta va fi în limba engleză și pasajul biblic îl găsim în Isaia 43, versetul 1 și 2. Tonight's message is going to be from Isaiah chapter 43, verses 1 and 2, and I'm going to read Isaiah 43, 1 and 2, if you want to open your Bible or read on the screen. Isaiah 43, 1 and 2 says this, "But now thus says the Lord that created you, O Jacob, and he that formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by your name, you are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon you." Tonight's message is going to be about leadership again. And I'm going to talk about a specific topic. And the idea of tonight's message... Thank you. You want to stay with Daddy? Okay. So, he likes to be up here, I guess. So tonight's message is about what it means for a leader to walk without fear. The message, I entitled this message tonight, Moving Forward Without Fear. And why is it important for a leader to move forward without fear? Why we as leaders have to be fearless when it comes to problems in our lives, when it comes to Satan's trying to fight us? In the Bible, we see a lot of leaders, great leaders, like Abraham, Joseph, Moses, Joshua, Gideon. We see women leaders like Ruth or Esther, Deborah. We see leaders like Peter or Paul or Jesus Christ, Stephen. Great leaders, great men of faith. Now, the question I'm going to ask you right now is, who is called to be a leader? Only men? Or women, or like David or Deborah, only kings or pastors, only worship leaders. We are all called to be leaders, small or tall, young or old, women or and men. We're all called to be leaders. You might disagree with me on that, but because of that, I came prepared tonight with a nice passage and. Hopefully, I'm going to try to convince you they're wrong. You're wrong, and if you guys want to open the Bible at on Hebrews chapter 11, remember last year we talked about faith and what it means to have faith in God, and we present a lot of names. We use Hebrews 11 to describe faith and to show how men of faith walk with God through faith, and all of the names I just mentioned we find them in Hebrews chapter 11. But if you want to open the book at verse 3, if you guys want to put it on the screen, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 3 starts with this. Through faith, and what's the next word? Through faith, we understand. Now, I do believe that nothing that's in the Bible, it's random. I don't believe that who wrote Hebrew put we on top of the list. I think it was done intentionally. The Holy Spirit is trying to tell me something, is trying to tell you something tonight. And that it's one of the reasons we're on top of the list is because He wants to send an encouragement message to you and to me to move forward. Not to stand idle and do nothing, because we are all called to be leaders, whatever God intended for us to be. At school, wherever you work, in your group of friends, you're called to be a leader, to lead. Now, Satan has an interesting trickery, because when you're called to be a leader, you're called to be fearless. We can use examples from the Bible. We can use examples from the history. If you think about Alexander the Great, he was a fearless leader. And because of that, because he was so fearless, he accomplished so much in such a little time. He conquered almost the entire known world at that time. Nothing could stand against him because he trusted in his potential. He knew his army. He knew what he's capable of. The same thing has to be with us. We have to trust ourselves. We have to know who we are. We have to know who is behind us. We have to know what we are capable of. And for that reason, Isaiah 43 just presents that. Now, if you want to do a I want to do a small summary about the whole book of Isaiah. The first 39 chapters talks about the rage of God towards Israel and Judah. And God tells them, I have to punish you because you were disobedient, because you were unfaithful, because you didn't believe me, because you walked astray, because you didn't listen to my word. I have to punish you. But then in chapter 40 and 40 on and so forth, he changes the message with a more positive message. And we are at chapter 43 when God tells me and tells everybody, but now there is a word of encouragement. But now. Now, a leader has to know a couple of things. In order for him to be fearless, in order for him to be able to conquer the fear, in order for him to be able to conquer Satan and whatever he brings upon us, and upon a leader, we have to know who we are, we have to know who belong to, and we have to know who is with us. Now, let's take word by word from this chapter. Chapter 43, verse 1 says this, but now, thus says the Lord, that created you. We who are called to be leaders, we have to know who created us. We have to know that God created us. He gave me a body. He gave me a mind. He gave me a physical appearance. He gave me a mouth. He gave me tools. He gave me a soul. He made me in his own image. We have to know that. You as a leader, you have to know who created you. Further says, and he that formed you. Now, this word, formed you, it's a word that we don't like. It's a word that kind of bothers me, and I just don't like it. And we don't like it because when God forms us, it's not an easy thing to go through. Think about the potter and the clay. When the potter wants to make a nice pot, right? He takes the clay and he puts pressure and he flips it and puts more pressure on it until that mixture it's perfect. He takes the mixture in his hand. He looks at the clay and if it's not right, he's gonna put pressure even more and more and more until the clay, it's the material, it's the right composition. The same thing happens with me and with you. God is still forming us. We have to go through problems. We have to go through issues that we don't like, but it's because God is forming us. It's forming my character. It's forming my personality. It's forming me. Sometimes through that process, fear can sets in. Fear can take over my being, and then I can take decisions and I say, I cannot be in your hands anymore. I don't want you to mold me anymore. I don't want you to form me anymore. I had enough. But God knows when it's enough. And because of fear, many times we don't accept that. Further on says, for I have redeemed you. It's not only that he created me. It's not that only that he works on me. It's not that he actually is forming me, is forming my character, but actually he paid the price for me too. He redeemed me through his blood on the cross. And because he paid that price, because he redeemed me, I'm his. He calls me by name. I have a unique name in God's eyes. You have a unique name in God's eyes. You are somebody. You're unique for him. You're not just another random person in God's eyes. You're somebody unique in His eyes. Because you're His. Because you belong to Him. So now, knowing this, knowing that He created me, knowing that He is forming me, knowing that He redeemed me, He calls me by my name, I'm His, knowing all these five things, let's read verse 2, who says, when? How many times when we read when, we wish that we would read if, not when. But we have, it says, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon you. Water means a new beginning. Everywhere you read in the Bible, water means and its significance. It's a new beginning. We have to go through the waters because God wants a new beginning for us. Every day, He wants something new in me, something new in you. And fear cannot set in. We cannot let fear overwhelm us. Knowing everything that we just learned, knowing that we are God's, doesn't matter what Satan is going to bring upon you. We have to go through the waters. We have to be molded and shaped and formed by God. Doesn't matter if illness comes upon me, Satan cannot control that. Doesn't matter if I have cancer or you have cancer, Satan cannot tell you that's the end of the whole thing because it's not. It doesn't matter if you have a brother or a sister or a son that's gone away, Satan cannot tell you that's it. He can't tell you that's it. He can't control your life. You're not allowed to let him to control your life. You better tell Satan he's better off to walk another place, to go and watch another person to mess with because you're God's children. We are God's property. I'm going to give you another passage of encouragement. 2 Timothy verse 1, verse 7 says this. If you want to put 2 Timothy verse 1 verse chapter 1 verse 7 says this. God had not given us the spirit of fear, but of power. We're not supposed to be fear. We're not supposed to let fear overtake us. We have to be fearless. And we have to trust God that whatever He brings upon us is because He loves us. Because He wants to form us. He wants to make something with us. You know, many times the problems that we're going through, they're nothing else but the answer to our prayers. We ask God for strength, and God is giving me difficulties to make me strong. I ask God for wisdom, and God gives me problems to solve. I ask God for prosperity, and God gives me a brain, a brawn to work. I ask God for courage, and God gives me danger to overcome. I ask God for love, and God gives me troubled people to help, helpless people to help. I ask for favors, and God gives me so many opportunities. I'm going to end up with a short story. One time, one young couple walks in the park, and they find a cocoon of a butterfly. And they take that cocoon with them at home, and they're watching it. And as they're watching it, they see one day there is a little opening in the cocoon on the side of the cocoon. So they're intrigued by the whole scenery, so they're watching for several hours as the butterfly is struggling to get out the cocoon to break free. Nothing happens. After several hours, the butterfly completely stops, as if he quits, as if that's it. He drops the ball. I'm not going to move forward anymore. They decide to help the butterfly, so they take a scissor, they cut the whole bottom, so the butterfly comes loose. For their surprise, they see the butterfly on the ground, big, fat body, swollen body, with tiny little wings. They take the butterfly, they put him on the table, and they watch it for days and days to see the wing, because they were expecting for the butterfly to grow the wings so he can fly. Nothing happens. Intrigued again by the whole scenery, they go on the brother Google and they register the system. They want to see what happened. What is the whole process? What's going on? How long they have to wait until the butterfly grows wings? Nothing happens, right? they were intrigued to find out that in that moment, when the butterfly is in the cocoon, he puts so much pressure in his body. And because of that pressure, the fluid in his body expands and goes in its wings. And as he struggles and he struggles day after day, the wings grow bigger and bigger until the will is formed. See, God created an intended for the butterfly to go through that problem as he intends for us to go through a lot of problems until we're well formed. If you go through the problems, but you know who you belong to, if you know that you're God's child, if you know that you're in His hands, and He wants to form you, He wants to create a human being out of you. He wants to create a character that doesn't matter what comes upon you. We are just this butterfly. Unfortunately for the butterfly, for the rest of his life, he was crawling because he didn't have wings. Do you want to crawl, or do you want to be formed properly by God? Are we going to allow God to form us the way He wants us? To grow wings so we can be a perfect creature? And especially for my younger brothers, do not expect a brighter future in front of you, because it's not going to be. God wants to take you through problems, through trials, through tribulations, because He wants to form a great character out of you. Trust in the Lord no matter what happens. And don't let Satan tell you otherwise. God bless you.